Well, good morning, everybody, and God bless. I hope you're all doing extremely well. It's been a crazy past few weeks, hasn't it? Man. You know that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when you get a phone call that's got bad news? Well, on Wednesday, March 11th, my wife called me when I was at work, and she told me that here in Stark County, where we live, we had our very first confirmed case of the coronavirus, and that the person had been quarantined at a hospital 1.5 miles from our home. Yep, there it is. There's that feeling. Now it's no longer something that's a national event. It's right here in our backyard. And then she told me that this person had not been out of the country. In fact, they hadn't even been out of the state recently. And through all their investigations, they couldn't find any contact that he had had with anybody who had been out of the country. So they were calling this a community-borne illness because they didn't know exactly where he got it from. Well, that feeling of fear, a lot of Christians say, well, you should never feel fear. You're a Christian. Well, Proverbs 3:25 tells me differently. It tells me to be not afraid of sudden fear, because there are going to be incidents that pop up in our lives that catch us off guard. And it's a physiological reaction that we have to bad news or situations like those. But we're not to be afraid of sudden fear that comes upon us like that. In fact, there is such a thing as good fear. It helps protect us. It ensures our survival. You know, good fear, like, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Good fear, like, don't stand too far out on that ladder, you could lose your balance. And good fear, like when you're 12 years old and you go to summer camp with your best friend, and as you're walking through the woods, he turns to you and grins and says, I dare you to pick up that stick and smack that hornet's nest with it. And then goes back to paying attention to where he's walking. So as I reached for the stick, now wait a minute, I was 12 years old. What did you think was going to happen? Testosterone has reared its ugly head. My brain has no idea what to do with that. My prefrontal cortex that handles all logic and reason won't be fully developed for at least another 20 years. My best friend just dared me and grinned at me while I did it. So, as I reached for that stick, the survival part of my head kicked in because the logic wasn't working, and that good fear prepared my body for what was going to come next by releasing adrenaline. And my friend's quick reaction to the sound of the thud and the splintering stick told him that something bad had happened and something worse was about to happen. And I could tell by his half-shocked, half-terrified look on his face that he was now sharing that same good fear that I had. And the one part about good fear, when it releases that adrenaline, it dulls the pain of branches flapping you in the face and briars tearing up your legs as you're running through the woods. So that's another example of good fear. But that's not how we're supposed to operate. Proverbs tells us we should keep sound wisdom and discretion. And where does that come from? Proverbs tells us that as well. It says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. So as I got off the phone with my wife, I paused and I prayed. I prayed for the man that became infected, prayed for his family, prayed for the caregivers that were taking care of him, prayed for the people in the community that may have come in contact with him, and prayed for my family and myself. Now, if I were to change anything on how I would have handled that, I would have done those prayers with my wife before we got off the phone. But guess what? I'm still learning and growing myself. Well, one of the verses that we're going to be working this morning is 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." And with everything that's happening right now with this coronavirus epidemic all over the world, and right here in our own backyard, fear has taken hold on a lot of people. And it's times like these that we seek God's protection, His healing, and His wisdom more than ever. The efforts that have been taken to prohibit large group gatherings and to close schools, those are wise decisions made with love to help protect people everywhere. And fortunately for us, Peg heard from God a long time ago to start an online church. So here we are, able to gather today, enjoy God's word, and have fellowship with one another. We have an incredible opportunity to show people what God's love is all about, to think of them first with our actions, and to ensure that we're not going to unknowingly spread this to somebody with a weakened immune system. We need to make sure that we're asking God for wisdom and guidance in every situation, and use best practices like good hand washing, getting enough rest, eating a balanced diet, and limiting exposure to other people when possible. Right now, when fear-filled thoughts enter your mind, the best thing to do is to replace them with the Word of God. And I'll tell you, one of my all-time favorites is Psalm 91. So if you just want to close your eyes for a minute, just relax and just listen to the intensity of these words. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." We need to rely on His wisdom. We need to build our house on His rock, not the world's sand. We need to pray for each other. Pray for all believers, our nation, and those around the world. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your love. We thank You for Your strength and for Your rest when we are tired. We thank You for the gift of Your Son, our big brother Jesus, who has redeemed us, enables us to have the deepest relationship with You. We can enter Your throne room anytime, climb up on Your lap, and share our hearts with You. Thank You for always being by our side and walking with us hand in hand. We thank You for Your hand of protection in every situation. We thank You for keeping us safe and healthy, and we pray for the healing that is so needed all around us at this time. We ask for Your peace in our hearts, and we thank You for being our sufficiency in all things. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There's an old Australian Aboriginal proverb that says, "We are all visitors to this time, this place. We are just passing through. Our purpose here is to observe, to learn, to grow, to love, and then we return home." Our purpose here. Oh, the talks I've had with God over that very subject. Why are we here? Why am I here now? Why not 100 years ago? Why not 1,000 years ago? What is it that you want me to do with my life? What lesson will you teach me today? Well, every single one of us is unique. Each of us was created in God's mind before time was time. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 1:9. It's 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We've been given a purpose through him, a holy calling from him. We've been given a free will to choose him. And because God is not bound by time, space, and matter as we are, he knew that we would choose to answer his call before he ever spoke the words, "Let there be light." Let's take a look at Romans 8. Romans 8, starting at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, from whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom did he predestinate, them he also called. And to whom he called, them he also justified. And to whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? You know, not a single atom of the universe had been created, and God already knew everything about you. And he knew that you would choose to give your life to him. Knew absolutely everything. Let's take a look at Psalms 139. In Psalms 139, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, and starting in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being." My inmost being, not just my physical DNA, but created who I am. He created more than just the organizing 3.2 billion, yes, that's billion with a B, 3.2 billion letters of a genetic code in the right sequence. I'm lucky to type 30 letters without having to hit a backspace key, but 3.2 billion letters of a genetic code in precise order. And all of our cells have this genetic code, but there are 200 different body tissues in the body that they can become. So how do cells for the eyes know to become cells for the eyes? How do bone cells know to become bone cells? Blood cells to become blood cells? Geneticists today still don't understand how this works. Identical twins have the same DNA, but there are at least subtle differences in their appearance. They may have many similarities, but they are not the same person. They are two distinct individuals created by God for his purpose. Let's go back to the scripture. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. There's absolutely no detail about us that God doesn't know. Each of us have our own set of fingerprints and footprints. Each of us has a different retina in the back of our eyes. Everyone's brain anatomy is slightly different. The regions of the brain that handle certain tasks are similar, but everyone's exact anatomy is slightly different. Fearfully and wonderfully made. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." What does fear do to us? Causes us to freeze. It makes us focus on our situations rather than focusing on Him. It allows doubt to creep in. Did God really say? It keeps us from reaching our utmost potential through Him. But of power. Whose power? God's power. When fear creeps in, use God's word and claim any three promises as counterpoints to that fear. Fear or faith, they can't occupy the same space. If you're someone that has difficulty remembering those promises, write them down. Put them on a note card, put them on a piece of paper, keep them in your pocket. And when fear creeps in, take those three promises and push that fear right back out. You also have 9 manifestations in your hip pocket ready to use at a moment's notice. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, healing, miracles. And if that wasn't enough, we're told to put on the whole armor of God, to have our loins girt about with truth, God's truth at your core, your center of gravity, your balance, and to have on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart. Why? Because out of the heart come the issues of life. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've been given a strong footing. And taking the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the God. And last but certainly not least, the power of prayer. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. All too often I hear people say, well, just pray for me. I'm sorry, just pray for you? I'll pray for you, but I won't just pray for you. I will take your needs and troubles to my Heavenly Father who has all power, all wisdom, and He will lift you up in every situation. He will give you strength. He will give you His peace that passes all understanding. And you can rest on His promises because He never fails. His timing is always perfect. He has compassion for those that cry out to Him. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time communing with God, and I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says, and so Jesus went off by himself to just pray. We're told in Ephesians to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've been given the power of prayer from Jesus Christ to our Lord, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us day and night, 24/7. Go to Him with praise and thanksgiving while you're standing on the promises that He has given us in His Word. He gave us those promises. Claim them. Jesus paid the price so that we could tap into His power. Keep your thumb here in 2 Timothy for a second and flip over to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 2. And it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Look at the wording of this verse, elect. Who's the elect? We are. And we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God, His plan, His purpose, before the foundation of the world, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. Look at that, the sprinkling of the blood. It's so powerful, that's all you need, a sprinkling. I don't know, God, all my sin, I might need a long soak in an oversized tub or an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Nope, just a sprinkling. That's all you need because it's that powerful. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Where's the life of the flesh? It's in the blood. Atonement, remember? All that is mine is his, and all that is his is mine. The price has been paid, and his power is available to us, but we have to claim it. We have to use it. We can walk forth boldly, with our head held high, and make all of our requests known unto him. Which then brings us to the love part of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I wish that verse was a little bit more clear. It's kind of abstract. We learned what love is from him. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 4. I'm going to start in verse 4, sorry. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He shows us compassion. He shows us love in action. Freely we have received, and freely we need to give. His love, unconditionally, and again, all under his plan, his purpose, before the foundation of the world. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. And in John 13, verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you. Oh, this should be good. New commandment. That ye love one another. Well, okay, yeah, not a problem. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. There's the challenge. There's the expectation. That's the target we're aiming for. It's not an easy one to hit, but that's the expectation. And with his help, by his example, it is possible. And now for the sound mind of Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. He's given us incredible minds, capable of awareness, calculations, written and verbal language, problem solving, imagination, music, art, poetry, faith, hope, love. Every day we learn and adapt and apply the things that we learned the day before. You know, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, the loving of the Lord, the yearning for a deeper relationship of the Lord. Those are beginning of knowledge. And then it goes on to say, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What's the old saying, that attitude is 99% of getting any job done? Are you receptive? Are you changeable? Are you moldable? Are you correctable? Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. You got to decide what type of clay you want to be, moldable, bendable, or are you just an old dry lump that can't be changed, that won't be changed because you refuse to? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. He gave us minds that need to be focused on him. Minds that we need to protect and ensure that they're being fed the right stuff, godly stuff. We spend time in the Word every day. Yes, every day. You ate yesterday, right? And you're going to eat today too, right? It's the same with our minds. We have to feed it every day with God's Word. Spending time and talking with fellow believers of the body, that helps to strengthen our minds too. Iron sharpens iron, and we hold each other accountable. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Ask Father each morning to guide you, to shape you into the person that He wants you to be, the person He created you to be before He created a single thing. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. His workmanship, His pride and joy. He's got our pictures on His wall, on His desk, in His wallet. You know, at my work, we create and manufacture fire prevention and extinguishing equipment for the aviation industry. It's a demanding field due to the high temperature materials required, the skilled labor that's required to produce it, and just the fact that it's a life-saving device. It may never be used, but when it's needed, it's got to work. Through continuous testing, we've improved the product several times. We've raised our standards of what we expect this product to do. We've discovered shortcomings, found better materials, found better methods of assembly. And after all of our blood, sweat, and tears, we have a product that we are very proud of. It's our workmanship, but it pales greatly to God's workmanship. God has a purpose and God has a plan. He wanted children, so He created them, in His mind first, knowing everything about them, knowing who would hear the call and who would want to fill that God-shaped void within. He didn't want a bunch of stamped-out cookie-cutter robots. He wanted kids. Kids that had free will and would choose to love Him. Kids with unique minds, personalities, and a sense of humor. Kids of godly character. Yep, that's us. He lives around us and gives us everything we need. He loves us. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And during trying times like these, we need to ensure that we're using those properly, that we're going to Him and getting the guidance that we need daily, that we're taking His love and sharing it with other people, that we're discerning and making good decisions about how to live our lives for Him based on the guidance that He gives us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You have given us. You've given us everything that we need, everything that we need to accomplish Your task. We thank You, Father, for that love that You've given us, and we thank You for helping us to spread that around and to show people Your examples of what You want us to be. We thank You for all of Your love, Father. We thank You for Your guidance and Your strength, and we thank You for Your peace. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.